Welcome to Navigating Love and Immigration. I'm your host, Megan Pastrana. Falling in love is exciting. Maintaining a healthy relationship takes work. And when you're going through an immigration process, you are faced with unique challenges. This podcast is for anyone in a cross-cultural relationship who finds themselves lost in the labyrinth of U.S. immigration. We will interview relationship experts, explore the stories of real couples, and provide important tips on starting the next chapter of your lives together. Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Navigating Love and Immigration. I'm really excited. Today, I have a special guest who was actually also a client of Immigration for Couples. She went through the process with her husband. So Heather is with us today, and she went through the process with her husband, Harrison. And we're here today to talk about not just navigating immigration, but all the pieces that come with that immigration journey, specifically home buying, because that oftentimes is part of your next chapter together is buying a home. And I get a lot of questions from couples who are going through the process. Is it safe for us to buy a home right now? What status does a person have to be able to buy a home? Where do we start, especially if it's their first time home purchase? So Heather is here today with me so we can talk about both navigating that immigration process and then navigating the home buying process. So thank you so much for being here with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you inviting me.
We've talked before and you have just so much really important information that couples should know. And I think your journey particularly will help other couples because oftentimes, and I know we talked about that before too, oftentimes when you're going through that immigration process, and I know that personally from going through with my husband, sometimes you feel like, does anybody get this? Because for most couples, it's like, yay, we're in love. Let's get married. Let's do all the things. And then, oh yeah, usually it's not, oh, we have to swim through this bureaucratic, archaic system. So I'd love to start with your immigration story so other listeners can see they're not alone. Tell us a little bit about how you and Harrison met and then how your immigration journey started.
So we met actually on a dating site. He was here visiting in Indianapolis, and it just so happened I was actually on disability at that time because I had broken my finger, and we met up. And I remember that after the first date, I told somebody, I was like, this is different than anybody I've ever met in my life, because he just was so caring and understanding. We knew. And so I had extra time. We got to spend a lot of time getting him straight here in Indianapolis. And then we decided pretty quickly that we didn't want to be separated. So
that led to the immigration process, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I had been single for a long time. So,
yeah. And I love seeing you and Harrison together because I do see how attentive he is. And the two of you work so well together as a couple should, right?
Right.
And when you were going through the immigration process and in the middle of COVID, right? Like it wasn't enough. The and the trifecta.
Yeah, exactly.
So for all of the view, if whether you're viewing this as a video podcast or listening, we will also post a link to Heather and Harrison's journey. They actually will talk with us in a separate video. So you'll get to meet him as well. But I'd like Heather to give a little bit of a taste of what was it like going through that long immigration process in the middle of COVID.
I think we went into it very naive, even though we're, you know, further along in our life. We're not young 20 somethings. I think we both were very naive that it was going to be an extremely easy process, that we were just going to be able to say, hey, we love each other and we want to be together. And the U.S. was going to say, hey, that's fine. So
you would think that.
Yeah. And we really went into it just completely naive. And so obviously, you helped us a lot in understanding what it was that we needed to show to prove that we were really in love and an actual couple. So,
yeah, I know that every time I watch a show and there's a reference to immigration or a movie or, you know, anything from Hollywood, the Sandra Bullock movie, The Proposal, is always the one that comes top of mind where she makes this decision like, oh, we'll just get married and this will solve our problems. And she goes into the immigration office that same day. Yeah. And it's like, oh, here's my papers. So a lot of people have that in mind. You'd think, oh, that it's going to work that way. But it's more like you send your papers and then you wait 12 months and then you have an interview and then they ask you crazy questions and then you wait. So Yes, but you're not alone in feeling that way. Many couples are like, really? What? They need to know that? That's so invasive.
Right. It really was. And then I would say also, like, I don't know, as an American, you kind of feel like your government should trust you. Like, if I love somebody, then why don't you love them? So.
Yeah, maybe we should ask that question.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's such a nice, you know, juxtaposition too, into dovetails nicely, if you will, into what your work in the world. And so Heather is a licensed real estate agent. You help people specifically here in the Indianapolis and surrounding areas. But you did mention that regardless, since, you know, immigration for couples, people who are watching this might be in Florida or Massachusetts or wherever, Heather has a very expansive network. So if you're needing help with home buying, she can help put you in contact with someone who can assist you. And you said you have agents who speak up to 44 languages, right?
Yes, 44 different languages. So, I mean, even in my own experience, I've worked with a couple and, you know, just in the couple times that I met them, I could tell that they would have been more comfortable doing this large investment speaking their primary language. So
yeah,
they found a agent that spoke Chinese. And so it's
awesome.
Probably been way better for them. As much as I want to help everybody, I can't speak Chinese. So
yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, it's probably the biggest purchase that most couples make in their life. So for first time home buyers who they're excited, they want to make this purchase, but it feels like a labyrinth. Very parallel to the immigration system.
Yes.
Maybe not quite as obnoxious. Hopefully not. But I know it ebbs and flows.
You love anybody. You just
have to love anybody. Exactly. But yes, if you could kind of do a 30,000 foot overview of the steps in the home buying process that couples should be aware of, that would be fantastic.
Well, I wanted to start by saying that in the U.S., we have what's called the Fair Housing Act. And that is a law that makes it illegal for anybody to discriminate against you for rentals or for home sales, you know, based on your race, color, national origin, religion, sex, family status, disability. I mean, if you're ever in any of those situations and you feel like somebody's not willing to speak to you, you have recourse in that, because I can't stress this enough that you should be able to find, you know, a place that you feel safe and want to live that's going to make you happy. So,
absolutely. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm really glad you mentioned that, because those are very, it's sad that that happens, and those are unnecessary and just very unjust.
Yes.
Barriers to home buying. So, that's really great. Yeah, that's really great for people to be aware of that and understand that that cannot, should not happen. And then if they are starting a home buying process, you know, where does a person or a couple, where should they start? Like, what is a first step?
The first step, personally, I would do would be to find an agent, because agents know a lot of people, and you're going to want to make sure that you find somebody that you're comfortable with. I mean, just because your partner's cousin, sister is an agent doesn't necessarily mean that's the best person for you. If you're interested in getting the best deal, you want to make sure that you have somebody aggressive or assertive, you know, to make sure that you get that. And you also want to make sure they have time for you. So,
Yeah, because it will take a lot of time to find the right house.
It absolutely will.
Yeah.
And when the largest purchase you're going to make in your life, maybe with the exception of college. The largest purchase. Now, personally, you know, you also don't want to find an agent that's going to give you things that you're not going to be able to afford and kind of push you into something that's more than you can afford. So the rule of thumb I tell people is 2 to 2.5 times what you make in a year.
Okay.
So if you make $100,000 a year, you could afford 200 or 250.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Comfortably. Because again, if you're going through the immigration process, you're going to need to have time and money to do that as well. So we don't want to be house poor at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I know for a lot of my friends and a lot of people I know, they just said, I didn't think that I could afford a house. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what financing looked like. And they delayed the purchase. So when does that financial piece come into play? Like, when should they Does the realtor help with that? How do they know what they can afford and when they're able to purchase, when they should move from renting to buying?
Right. And that's when I say, like, if you have any desire at all to purchase a home, even if you don't think you could afford it now, or you've only just been here for a short period of time, meet with a realtor, because what they're going to do is they're going to connect you with somebody local that does pre-approvals. They'll either get you connected with a local bank or a mortgage broker, and they will be able to look at your finances, tell you right now what you might be able to afford. But if you do, you know, X, Y, Z in the next year, that you might be able to afford more.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mortgage people will work with somebody. If you have bad credit, they'll give you the steps that you need to do to get where you need to be to purchase a home.
Okay. So I'm hearing that it's pretty similar, you know, to immigration too, and that starting early, even if you don't think you're ready, even if you don't know if this is the next step that you want to take, understanding and educating yourself through a realtor is really the first step to this journey.
And you're going to need, I was looking at the list of things that you definitely need to apply for a mortgage, and they're all stuff you're probably going to have in that folder. You know, I know my husband and I have this huge folder of documentation that we've had to have for our case. So these are all similar things that you need to for your case. You're going to need all your asset statements, your bank statements, your W-2s, N-99 if you're self-employed, you know, your driver's license, all of those things. And so it's very similar, and you probably already have that sitting somewhere. So it's going to end up being an easier process than you think.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I've actually had a lot of couples tell me, you know, it was just a very onerous exercise to have to get all of these things together. But then they said it really facilitated other things in their life, specifically home buying, because you're all organized and you're ready to go. And you're like, oh yeah, immigration asked for that. Here's everything. It's all nice and organized. And then it can make that process a little easier as well.
Absolutely. And you probably already have it scanned on your computer. So then it's even easier.
Yeah, exactly. And so when a couple is, an individual or a couple is ready to purchase a home and they've gone through that pre-approval process, are there any steps that you recommend after that in the home buying process?
I like to tell people so they're prepared, because I feel like when I purchased my first home, they were just like, oh, now you need this money. And I was like, wait, nobody told me I needed, you know, to pay for an inspection in the process. And so I like to tell people up front, you know, typically when you're ready to start looking at houses, you're going to need to be able to put down what's called earnest money. It's kind of like a deposit, and that'll be usually 1%. And you can do lower. It depends on, like, right now the market's kind of weird, but typically 1% will be a good offer to the sellers. And so you would just have to have that available to get to when you're ready to make an offer. And then the second thing is you're going to need to have cash available to pay for an inspection.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever recommend people purchase a house without getting an inspection. Even if you're one of the handiest person, you know, and you love fixing things, you want to get an expert to come in. I mean, kind of like when you're in the immigration process, I mean, we could fill out those forms ourselves, but you want an expert to help you to know exactly what to do and to make sure you don't make any mistakes that will cost you more time and money. So
yeah, that sounds very risky to waive an inspection, because there's things that come up that are, you know, you just don't even, you have no idea. They might not show up.
And you still want to, even if you're buying a brand new built house, which there's a lot of brand new builds that are going on in Indianapolis, you want to make sure that you get an inspection even then, because yeah, it's new, but not everybody does their job correctly. So you want to make sure that you are covering yourself, because this is, you know, an extremely important investment, and you don't want to put yourself back because something wasn't done right.
Exactly. And I think most people understand the benefits of home buying, but there might be benefits that people aren't thinking of, or maybe a reframe that can help couples understand the benefits of moving from renting to buying. So what do you see are some of the biggest advantages to being a homeowner?
I mean, I think the biggest advantage is it's kind of like you don't have to follow somebody else's rules. I mean, you do have homeowners associations, but you're not at the will of somebody else who owns a home. And maybe he decides next year he wants to raise the rent $200.
Mm-hmm.
when you purchase a home, your payment is pretty much going to stay the same with the exception of property tax variance, but it's pretty much going to stay the same. And you can count on that for 30 years. So,
Exactly. And, yeah, and I know you and I talked about it too.
It'll be consistently, you know, you're going to be gaining equity in your home as the prices go up and you start paying off the mortgage. You're going to have lots of equity to, you know, either move up to a larger home, or maybe you decided the house is too big and you want to go to a smaller home. You might even be able to purchase it with cash.
Yeah, I know you and I, when we were talking about it, it's almost a forced savings account. You know, and I think that most people under, of course, they understand that. And that's why they want to move from renting to buying. So the payments they're making every month, they're really going into their own like personal savings account, their home and that equity. And a big question that I had alluded to at the beginning of our episode here is that a lot of individuals, especially going through the immigration process, are like, do we have to wait till we have a green card? Do we have to wait until we have this status solidified before we can buy? So would you tell our listeners and viewers a little bit more about the truth of that?
No, you don't. You don't have to be a citizen. You don't have to have a green card. You could be undocumented. There are programs to help you get a mortgage. You are going to need an ITIN number, but there are programs. Now, I will caveat to that is, as an American, I go to get a mortgage, I would have to have 20% to put down. Or if I'm using a government program, less than that, like 3.5%. For somebody with just an ITIN number, you are going to need to have a larger amount to put down.
Okay. But it is possible.
But it is possible. Yes.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it can be from a $100,000 house to millions of dollars. It really has no limit as long as you have that down payment.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And that's such a really important piece of information that I really wanted viewers and listeners to know about, because I hear so many couples and you know this, right? You kind of sometimes feel like in the middle of the immigration journey, you're stuck in limbo land, right? And you're wanting to plan for the future, but sometimes it feels like you're being held back a little bit. But the home buying piece is not something you necessarily have to put off. So I know a lot of couples are thinking, oh, we have to wait for, you know, getting this work permit or getting this green card before we can make that next step. But that's not a piece of your life that has to be put on hold then.
No, I mean, the way I look at it is it's part of the American dream. Everybody wants to own a home.
Yeah. Well,
I shouldn't say everybody.
Most, yeah.
But it's part of that American dream. When you come here, you want to own a home, and why not start now? Because,
yeah,
I mean, that's where you're going to live, and you're investing at the same time you're showing the U.S. that you want to be here. So
yeah, exactly. And it's wonderful to be a homeowner, and yeah, just to know that that's your little piece of land and your home, and that you're saving up for your future. And I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing all of your expertise with us. What are the best ways for people to get in contact with you if they are wanting to start their home buying journey?
The best way to get in contact with me is probably my email. You can email me at heather.anderson@talktotucker.com, or you can give me a call. Text me. I'd take it anyway. Anyway.
Awesome. And we'll put all the links to your social media and your contact information in the show notes. So if any couple or any individual for that matter is really interested in starting that home buying journey, that they can reach out to you regardless of what might happen to be.
If you just have questions, you certainly can call me. I we'll treat you like I do my own family. Maybe nicer, actually.
That's awesome. Well, thank you again. Thank you so much for being on here today and talking with all of us about home buying and your own personal journey. It's been a really fantastic conversation.
Absolutely. So. And I forgot to mention the most fun part, and that's shopping for a house. Like, when you get to go look at all these other houses, that's probably my favorite part, is going to look at all these different houses and how different everybody decorates their home or likes it to be set up. So
yeah, and just getting ideas too for your own home, or you are looking and then you fall in love with one and it's like, oh, this is our home, this is the one.
Yeah.
like when you met Harrison, you knew this was the one. Well, thank you again. It's been such a pleasure having this conversation, and like I said, we'll post links to Heather's contact information, social media, and then also a link to her and Harrison's story. So as well. All right. Okay. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks. You too.